Hello and welcome once again. This is Brother Mike at May-212011.com. That's May-212011.com with another study in our series on Daniel chapter 8. Today we'll be covering verses 6 through 7. The title of our study is The He-Goat Stamps on the Ram and Breaks Its Two Horns. Let me begin, as usual, by reading those two verses. Then we'll go into the introduction and lead right on into our study. Beginning at verse 6 in Daniel chapter 8, we read, "And he," that is the he-goat, "came to the ram that had two horns, which I had seen standing before the river, and ran unto him in the fury of his power. And I saw him come close unto the ram, and he was moved with choler against him, and smote the ram, and broke his two horns. And there was no power in the ram to stand before him, but he cast him down to the ground and stamped upon him, and there was none that could deliver the ram out of his hand." In our last study of Daniel, chapter 8, verse 5, and which you can click on to refresh your mind of, as Daniel was considering what he saw in his vision previous to verse 5, he first wrote, "Behold," which is a word that can function as a command to pay careful attention to what Daniel is about to see. So, we paid very close attention to what Daniel saw next, which was, "An he-goat came from the west on the surface of the whole earth, and touched not the ground, and the goat had a notable horn between his eyes." We were greatly helped in the literal application or meaning to this verse when the angel Gabriel said down in verse 21, "And the rough," that is the hairy goat, the previously mentioned he-goat, "is the king of Grecia. And the great horn that is between his eyes is the first king." So, from this information, we learned that the he-goat was Alexander the Great, because Gabriel just said the great horn that is between his eyes, that is between Alexander the Great's eyes, is the first king of Grecia, or Greece. And the word first did not mean the first in number, but the first in degree. Therefore, the first king in degree, or the greatest king of Grecia, meant the greatest king of Greece in the near future to when Daniel saw his vision. And that greatest king could be none other than Alexander the Great, as everyone knows who has read ancient history of the 3rd century B.C. Also, this was not mentioned in our previous study, but in that Gabriel revealed Alexander the Great to be a hairy goat, likely meant he was literally a hairy man in some way. Furthermore, because he was represented as a hairy he-goat and the great horn between his eyes, and in the Bible, a goat represents an unsaved people, an unsaved person, while a horn represents strength and power, we can reason that not only was Alexander the Great a hairy man, but he had great strength and power as well, which was obvious in how he was able to conquer the entire ancient great Persian kingdom that then consisted both of the Medes and the Persians under Darius the Third in just 6 to 8 years. Remember, the great ancient Median kingdom had been made a part of Persia when King Cyrus of Persia had conquered it way back in 550 BC. Indeed, Alexander the Great must have been a wild beast of a man, as the ensigns or banners that pictured goats on them went before him and his army as they marched forward to victory. But besides the literal meaning to verse 5, we saw in our last study that, once again, you can click on it to be refreshed, which might be a good idea. We saw in that study a spiritual meaning or application as well. For all the literal and historical truths of the Old Covenant were but foreshadows or types of spiritual things that would come in the New Covenant. Thus, we call all the literal and historical truths of the Old Testament historical parables. For the literal historical stories of the Old Testament all reveal deeper truths than what appears on the surface of just the literal history. This lends strong support for God having written the Holy Scriptures through men, for only He, who could see all things from beginning to the end and who has such great wisdom, could have guided and written history by the letter of the law in such a way to foreshadow or typify spiritual things that would be revealed in the future during the New Covenant or Testament. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. Romans 11:33. Can any human even possibly fathom all the depth of the wisdom and knowledge of God? Can the finite even grasp the infinite? Well, next, we found that the spiritual meaning or application of verse 5 in our last study to be this: the he-goat that the angel Gabriel interpreted to be the hairy goat, we found to be the demon goat. Because the word hairy can spiritually be translated as demon. Also, since Gabriel said that this demon goat was the king of Grecia, or we could say Greece, and spiritually we found Grecia to refer to all the unsaved people in the world, and you can click on Daniel 8:5 and scroll down to page 14 and begin reading at the last paragraph to see this. This demon goat must be king of all the unsaved people, which clearly reveals that this demon goat must be the devil himself. For according to the Bible, spiritually, he is the only one who rules over all the billions of unsaved people in this world, because he won that right to do so when he had deceived Eve to eat of the forbidden fruit in the garden, that she then gave to Adam and he ate as well, to bring about the fall of the human race right into the hands of the devil. Furthermore, the angel Gabriel not only revealed that the he-goat is the hairy goat, which we discovered can be translated as the demon goat, and that this demon goat is the king of Grecia, who spiritually is Satan himself, but Gabriel also said that the great horn between the demon goats, that is Satan's eyes, is the first king, that is the first king of Grecia. And the word first does not mean the first in number, but once again, the first in degree. Therefore, the great horn that Gabriel revealed to be the first king of Grecia must be the greatest king of Grecia. And once again, because we had discovered Grecia to spiritually symbolize all the unsaved people in the world, and you can click on Daniel 8:5, scroll down to page 14, begin reading at the last paragraph to be refreshed of that. The greatest king of Grecia, that is of all the unsaved people, can be none other than the devil himself. So, there can be no question that spiritually speaking, the he-goat in Daniel's vision refers to the devil or Satan. But now we are reminded that Daniel 8:5 reads, "And he-goat came from the west on the surface of the whole earth and touched not the ground, and the goat had a notable horn between his eyes." As previously mentioned, the he-goat was found to be Satan. But what did it mean that he came from the west on the surface of the whole earth and touched not the ground? Well, that Satan came from the west, we found to mean that he came from the realm of darkness, because remember, in the west is where the sunlight is extinguished as the sun goes down, and then the darkness soon manifests itself. It is the exact opposite in the east, which is why Daniel saw the ram, that is Christ, coming from the east, pushing west. We saw that in verse 4. But he saw the he-goat come from the west, pushing east. That is in verse 5. Thus, spiritually, Christ is said to come from the east in Holy Scripture, the realm of light, where the darkness is extinguished. But Satan is said to come from the west, where the light is extinguished, the realm of darkness. It has nothing to do with literal directions on a compass or a map. So spiritually speaking, that Satan came from the west simply means that he came from the spiritual realm of darkness, not that he literally came from the west. But then what did it spiritually mean that he came on the surface of the whole earth and touched not the ground? In answering this question, we were first reminded that the whole earth spiritually symbolizes the whole Christian church. And you can refresh your minds on that by clicking on Revelation 13:3 and begin reading at the last paragraph on page 4 and then go all the way through page 10. Also, you can click on Revelation 13:8 and see the sentence, "all that dwell upon the earth." Therefore, that Daniel saw that the he-goat came from the west on the surface of the whole earth means that Satan came from the realm of darkness on the surface of the whole Christian church. And since in the Hebrew, the prepositional phrase "on the surface of" can just as well be translated as "above the surface of," we can say that Satan came from the realm of darkness above the surface of the whole Christian church. And spiritually, to be above or on the whole Christian church meant that Satan had been given great power and authority over the whole corporate Christian church, which means he was given power and authority over every Christian church. Because as we will see, spiritually, Daniel's vision reveals a glimpse of the great tribulation period from May 21, 1988 to May 21, 2011, and even to this very day, when Satan had been given rule over all the Christian churches as the counterfeit Christ, the Antichrist. And I encourage you to click on the Antichrist if you don't know yet who that Antichrist that was prophesied to come is. He's also called the man of sin, the little horn, the beast, and the abomination of desolation. Indeed, Satan had been given rule over the whole Christian church beginning on May 21, 1988 as God's judgment against them. For judgment, we are told, had to begin at the house of God, 1 Peter 4:17. And that judgment on the church then expanded to include the whole world as well as the church ever since the many days of Judgment Day began on May 21, 2011. Finally, and spiritually speaking, what did it mean that Satan touched not the ground? Remembering that the word translated as ground is the same word translated as earth in the previous prepositional phrase, on the surface of the whole earth, we decided to remain consistent and translate the word ground as earth. So, spiritually, we are asking, what did it mean that Satan touched not the earth? And since, spiritually, we found that the term the earth symbolizes the Christian church, what Daniel saw in his vision was Satan come from the realm of darkness with power and authority to rule over the Christian church, and that he touched not the earth, that is the church, simply emphasizes that he was no longer restrained in the Christian church by the Holy Spirit, but he was now above the church in power and great authority to rule over them all in the church. For as we had learned, the Holy Spirit that once restrained the devil from being able to completely take over the whole Christian corporate church during the church age had departed out from the corporate Christian church to allow for God's judgment on his church and the spiritual great tribulation on May 21, 1988 by Satan having been given the power and authority to rule over them. Well, let's begin to look at Daniel 8:6 for today's study. Now that we have completed a review of what we learned in our last study of verse 5. Now, verse 6 reads like this: And he, that is the he-goat, came to the ram that had two horns, which I had seen standing before the river, and ran unto him in the fury of his power. Of course, based on what we had already learned, the literal meaning or application to this verse is that the he-goat represents Alexander the Great. The ram represents the kings of Media and Persia. We learned that, I believe, back in verse 3. And its two horns represent the two kingdoms of the Medes and Persians that by this time in Daniel's vision had long since merged to become one great Persian kingdom because King Cyrus of Persia had conquered the Medes back in 550 BC. And they became part of the Persian kingdom. But now, by this time in Daniel's vision, Darius III was the king of Persia during the 3rd century BC. Thus, when our verse states, and he, that is the he-goat, came to the ram that had two horns, which I had seen standing before the river, this refers to when Alexander the Great and his army came against the Persian king, Darius III, which the Median kingdom had long since been made a part of, and he, Alexander the Great, with his army, ran unto him, that is Darius III with his army, in the fury or heat of his power or strength. Then in verse 7 we read, And I saw him come close unto the ram, and he was moved with choler against him, and smote the ram, and broke his two horns. And there was no power in the ram to stand before him, but he cast them down to the ground, and stamped upon him, and there was none that could deliver the ram out of his hand. Since him in this verse refers to Alexander the Great, at least in the literal meaning, and the ram refers to the king of Persia, Darius III, the first part of this verse, in the literal meaning or application, is saying that I, that is Daniel, saw him, that's Alexander the Great with his army, come close, or we could translate it, approaching unto the ram, that is Darius the Third with his army, and he, Alexander the Great, was moved with choler, and choler is an old ancient word that means anger or rage. Or so he was moved with choler, that is bitter anger or rage against Darius III and his army. And the result of Alexander's bitter rage against Darius III and his Persian army was that when Alexander approached the ram, that is Darius III, with his army, he smote or struck the ram, that is Darius of Persia, with his army, and broke his two horns. That is, conquered the great Persian kingdom of the Medes and Persians. And there was no power in the ram, that is Darius III, with his army, to stand before him. That is, to stand before Alexander the Great with his army. But he, Alexander and his army, cast him down to the ground and stamped or trampled upon him, we could translate it, and there was none that could deliver the ram, that is Darius III, with his army, out of his hand. Now, it is not in the scope of this particular study to get into all the details of this literal meaning or application of these verses, for this is all ancient, already fulfilled history, and it was all merely a foreshadow or type of spiritual things to come that have been fulfilled and are being fulfilled in our day. In other words, we, in these few remaining days of this world, have been spiritually experiencing or have experienced it already, what Daniel's vision ultimately meant. And the whole historical event of Alexander the Great conquering the combined kingdoms of Media and Persia under the Persian monarchy of King Darius III was merely what we will call a historical parable. That is, history symbolizing spiritual things that typified or foreshadowed events that would come during the church age, from Pentecost in 33 AD to May 21, 1988, when the church age ended, symbolized by the ram's two horns being broken, and then the spiritual stamping upon Christ and his body, symbolized by the stamping upon the ram, during the Great Tribulation from May 21, 1988, to May 21, 2011, and even to this very day. For although Satan was, in principle, dethroned on May 21, 2011, and Christ then began to rule the whole world with a rod of iron, we do not yet see Satan dethroned, because God has permitted him to continue for a season and time as his instrument of judgment. Daniel 7:12. But we should mention that in the literal meaning or application to our verses, Alexander the Great was not defeated in just one battle. No, it took three major battles to finally defeat Darius III and the Persian Empire. Nevertheless, according to the various written accounts of those battles, Darius III's armies, were always badly defeated in each of the three major battles. And even though Darius III somehow escaped death in all three of the battles, he was eventually murdered by his own satrap, Bessus, who declared himself to be king. Okay, well, let's now look at the spiritual application or meaning to our two verses, 6 and 7 of Daniel 8, which the literal application and meaning foreshadowed or typified. This, of course, is what really matters to us, since the spiritual application or meaning gives us a great spiritual overview of the major happenings during the 1955 years of the church age and then the 23-year period of the Great Tribulation immediately after the church age, from May 21, 1988 to May 21, 2011, and yes, even to this very day. And because these things are spiritually discerned, the corporate Christian church, which is full of the unsaved, that is natural or carnal men and women who have not the Spirit of God, they cannot see these things. For what does the Scripture say in 1 Corinthians 2, verses 12 through 16? Now we, that is the saved, have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing what? Literal things with literal things? No, comparing spiritual things with spiritual things. But the natural man, that is the unsaved, receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they're spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Furthermore, those who have remained in the Christian churches are being deluded by God himself to believe a lie, because they would not believe the end time truths, such as God's people having been called out from all the Christian churches to escape God's judgment upon them beginning on May 21, 1988. The spiritual end of the church age on May 21, 1988. Satan ruling in the corporate Christian church as judgment against them ever since May 21, 1988. Any possibility of salvation having come to an end on May 21, 2011. The many days of Judgment Day having begun on May 21, 2011. The counterfeit Christ, who is the Antichrist, also called the man of sin or son of perdition, the devil himself, having already come and taken his seat of rule in the corporate Christian church or temple. And many other spiritual truths as well for the end time. And God reveals why he is feeding them a strong delusion, so they believe a lie and are damned. He says in 2 Thessalonians 2:10 through 12, because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, and they should believe a lie. You know, like God's judgment's not on our church, or Satan doesn't ruin our church, or the church age is not spiritually over, or salvation is not over, or the Antichrist has not yet come, and all the rest. That they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Now, let's be refreshed in our two verses of today's study, and then we will look at the spiritual application or meaning of them. They read, and he, that is the he-goat, came to the ram that had two horns, which I had seen, standing before the river, and ran unto him in the fury of his power. And I saw him come close unto the ram, and he was moved with choler against him, and smote the ram, and broke his two horns. And there was no power in the ram to stand before him, but he cast him down to the ground, and stamped upon him, and there was none that could deliver the ram out of his hand. To begin, we already learned in our last study of Daniel 8:5 that the he-goat spiritually symbolizes the devil. The ram spiritually symbolizes Christ. And his two horns spiritually symbolize the Christian church, as well as Christ's strength or power. Therefore, when verse 6 states, "And he," that is the he-goat, "came to the ram that had two horns, which I had seen standing before the river, and ran unto him in the fury of his power," it means that the devil came to Christ and his church, which Daniel had seen standing before the river, that is, in front of the river, leading the charge of the streaming forth of the river of the gospel during the church age. And the devil ran unto Christ and his church in the fury of his power. Or we could translate it, strength. So, spiritually speaking, what Daniel witnessed in his vision was Christ and his church, that is, his mighty ones. For Ulai, the name of the river, means mighty ones. Okay, that's why what Daniel witnessed in his vision was Christ and his church, or we could say his mighty ones, because that river's name is Ulai, which means the name, which means mighty ones. So the mighty ones in front of the river with Christ, they were leading the river of the gospel during the church age. Everywhere that they went, it was God's purpose that they were 100% successful in saving those who the Father had chosen from the foundation of the world. And no one, including Satan, was able to stand in his way nor deliver any one of them out of Christ's saving hand. So, Christ did all according to his will, and he became great throughout the church age. But then right near the end of the church age, the tables were turned, and Satan came out of the realm of darkness, symbolized by coming from the west, and was given great power to conquer and rule over Christ and his church, symbolized by his coming above the surface of the whole church, represented by on the surface of the whole church, and by his not touching the earth. We know that Satan had been given such power after released from the pit that he had been bound in at the cross. Revelation 20, you can click on for that. Near the end of the church age, to be used to bring God's final judgment on the world, beginning at the house of God. 1 Peter 4:17, on May 21, 1988, according to the quite accurate biblical timeline of history that you can click on to see it and to see all the evidence and proofs for its validity and accuracy. Thus, we read, "And the devil ran unto Christ and his church in the fury," that is, heat, "of his power," or strength, "to attack and kill him. For the hour of darkness," that is the great tribulation, "in the church had begun on May 21, 1988, with the devil beginning to take over the rule of the whole corporate Christian church as the counterfeit Christ, who is the Antichrist, also called the man of sin, so that they would all worship him without even knowing it. And any possibility for true salvations would come to an end in every Christian church, and did come to an end. Only counterfeit salvations in the spirit of Satan would ever take place again in the Christian church, for the true Holy Spirit departed out from them all. And the spirit of Antichrist, who is the Antichrist that was prophesied to come, the devil himself, took over the power or rule in the whole corporate Christian church as the counterfeit Holy Spirit. Given all this, There should not be anyone who does not understand why Jesus said this about the Great Tribulation period in Matthew 24:21. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. Now next, verse 7 reads, and I saw him come close unto the ram, and he was moved with choler against him, and smote the ram, and broke his two horns. And there was no power in the ram to stand before him, but he cast him down to the ground and stamped upon him. And there was none that could deliver the ram out of his hand. It should now be easy to realize the spiritual meaning or application of this verse, since we have already learned what every important word or term in this verse spiritually means. Therefore, when our verse says, I saw him come close unto the ram, and he was moved with choler against him, and smote the ram, and broke his two horns, it means that Daniel saw Satan come close unto Christ and his church, and Satan was moved with rage against him and his church, and struck him, and conquered his church. That's what it means, that he broke the two horns. Indeed, Satan had great rage or anger against Christ because at the cross, Christ defeated him and then cast him out of heaven and bound him in the pit of this earth so he could not keep the gospel from going forth to all God's elect to save them during the church age. Although Satan could go about on earth as a roaring lion, seeking whom he might devour, and he was able to persecute and agitate and even physically kill the elect at various times in history and cause all kinds of problems. But he could not ever deliver the elect of God, out of the eternal saving hands of Christ. But then, to bring a spiritual end to the church age, Satan was released from being bound in the pit of this earth and given great power. So he came close unto Christ, and he was moved with burning rage against him because of what Christ had done to him at the cross, and he struck Christ and broke his two horns. That is, he conquered the Christian church to bring an end to the church age and begin to be used by God to bring God's final judgment on the world by first beginning that judgment at the house or temple of God, all the Christian churches. For judgment had to begin at the house of God, 1 Peter 4:17. Which was on May 21, 1988, when the Great Tribulation also began, with the removal of any more true salvations taking place in the Christian church, and the devil having been given power to rule in the whole Christian church as the counterfeit Christ and the true Antichrist that was prophesied to come and revealed to already have come by Holy Scripture in the biblical timeline of history on May 21, 1988. Now finally, we can also realize that when the last part of our verse says, and there was no power in the ram to stand before him, but he cast him down to the ground and stamped upon him, and there was none that could deliver the ram out of his hand, it means that there was no power or strength in Christ to stand before the devil, but the devil cast Christ down to the ground and stamped upon him. And since the word ground is the same word that we have been translating as earth, we will remain consistent and translate it as earth here as well. And if you will remember, the word earth spiritually symbolizes the church. And once again, you can click on Revelation 13:3 and begin reading at the last paragraph on page 4 all the way through page 10 to see that. Therefore, our verse states the following, and there was no power or strength in Christ to stand before the devil. But the devil cast Christ down in the church and stamped upon him. So what our two verses, 6 and 7, in the spiritual application and meaning are saying is simply that Satan came to Christ, who was with his church, and Satan ran unto Christ in the fury or heat of his power or strength that he had been given after being loosed from the pit on May 21, 1988, in which he had been bound at the cross. And when Satan came close to Christ, he was moved with burning rage against him. Burning rage. So Satan struck him to spiritually shatter the power of the corporate Christian church to begin ruling over them. Then there was no power or strength left in Christ to stand before the devil. So the devil cast him down in the church and spiritually stamped upon him, and there was none that could deliver out of Satan's hand. Notice how the tables were then turned upside down. Whereas throughout the church age, Christ and his church conquered wherever they went to save all the elect, and none could deliver the elect from Christ's hand. At the end of the church age and beginning of God's judgment and great tribulation upon the church on May 21, 1988, the power and strength of the church was spiritually destroyed or shattered, and Christ was trampled as Satan had begun to rule in the whole Christian church as God's judgment against them due to all their idols of man-made or demonic doctrines, practices, and traditions, as well as evil spirits that did and continue to do signs and wonders at various times, completely deceiving them, making them believe that God was and still is with them when he is not. Yet if Christ is in heaven at the right hand of the Father, which he is, how could he have been trampled or stamped upon in the Christian church? Answer: by his true people having been trampled, of course. For we are the body of Christ, 1 Corinthians 12:27. Even his flesh and bones, Ephesians 5:30. Therefore, when we, God's elect, were spiritually stamped upon, overcome, and spiritually killed in the Christian churches, that is, silenced, during the Great Tribulation, from May 21, 1988 to May 21, 2011, and even to this very day, if we were to stand up for end-time truth in any church, it was and continues to be Christ himself who was and would be trampled and overcome. What we see then in Daniel chapter 8 is what we have been seeing in many places of the Bible already, except we are only seeing it in a different symbolism or different parables that are spiritually discerned by comparing Scripture with Scripture, so that those Christians who remain in the churches are seeing but see not, and hearing but they hear not, because they are being blinded to end-time truth by God himself. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 11. But we, God's true people, every time we see the many scriptures that refer to the great tribulation, it's all over the place in the Bible. Our understanding of end-time events is only being confirmed, broadened, and strengthened. Now, until the next time, may Yahweh bless thee and keep thee. Yahweh make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. Yahweh lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. And finally, please remember me in prayer.